Romans 3, 4, and 5, Paul presents this doctrine of justification by faith. He says something amazing. He says we can be made right with God by grace alone. That salvation is a free gift. And that Jesus puts us in right standing with the Father. And that is by faith alone. We receive this gift of God's grace. By believing in what Jesus did at the cross. And this right standing with God is apart from the law. It has nothing to do with the law. So we saw what it was in chapter 3. We saw how you receive it by faith in chapter 4. We saw some of the benefits at the beginning of chapter 5. Peace with God. Favor from God. And we're still doing nothing for God. We're not earning it.
That where sin abounds, grace
you say we get salvation for free? And it's just grace? And when we sin, grace is just increasing? How can this doctrine lead us to a holy life? And so Romans 6 begins there. And in Romans chapter 6, 7 and 8, Paul supports his doctrine of justification. In Romans 3, 4 and 5, he presents the doctrine of justification. In Romans 6, 7, 8, he defends the doctrine of justification. He says it really is this amazing. That your righteousness comes from Jesus. And the problem of sin is dealt with. But the skeptic asks, the doubter asks, how will that produce holiness in us? So look at Romans 6 verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Then people are just going to carry on sinning. In fact, if grace is always available, shall we carry on sinning? If God's grace abounds when we sin, and people respond to this with two wrong roads right here at this point. They go in two wrong directions. They either say we have to cheapen grace, say, okay, people are just going to sin easily now. And some people might make that mistake in their minds. And then they live licentiously. They take license, they break the law freely. And say, oh, well, if Jesus paid for everything, I can just carry on doing whatever I please. I can get drunk, I can party, I don't have to repent. Because God's grace is enough. Well, God's grace is enough. But then the other person says, yes, that's what's going to happen, they're going to carry on sinning. So they quickly try to re-establish laws. You better dress morally. Now that you're a Christian, you better pay your tithe. Otherwise you'll fall out of favor with God. standing with him because of Jesus. So the legalist is perplexed now, he doesn't know what to do. What's going to make you holy if I can't force you? If I can't use the law to drive you towards holiness, what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning? Paul answers that question very bluntly in verse 2. By no means. Not at all.
No.
Don't be ridiculous. You don't continue in sin. And then he says this, he says, we died to sin, how can we live in it any longer? You see, the people that look at the doctrine of justification, and say people are going to abuse God's grace, we need to give them some laws. They're only looking at the outside. They don't understand grace yet. They don't understand the law either. Because the law doesn't produce holiness, it produces rebellion. See, they're asking the question as if nothing has changed. But Paul answers by saying something drastic has changed. He says, we have died to sin. Not we are dying to sin. Not we in the process of putting sin under control. See, too often we go to the question of how will I change? I've become a Christian, how am I going to improve? How am I going to start being a better person? But Paul says you need to see something deeper. Before you examine your behavior, you need to see something else. You are no longer the old you. You are no longer the old you. It hinges on this phrase, we have died to sin. In the previous chapter, we encountered the same tense, the same grammar. It said, in Adam we have sinned. It was a done deal. It basically says, in one event in the past, all humanity sinned. We were all in Adam when he sinned. Now, Paul uses the same grammar. And he says, in one event that has happened, a past event, we have died to sin. Not we are busy working on the problem. Not we're making some progress in crucifying the flesh. some wrong ways. There's some ways we can misunderstand what Paul's saying. Maybe he means we no longer want to sin. But he doesn't mean that. Because in just a few verses, in verse 12 to
14,
he tells us not to obey sin's evil desires. So he says, you're still going to be tempted to sin. You're still going to feel an appetite for sin. And you mustn't follow that appetite. So he's not saying we no longer want to sin. We still want to sin sometimes. That's not what he means by we have died to sin. Maybe he just means we no longer ought to sin. We shouldn't sin anymore. It's not appropriate for a Christian to sin. That's not what he means.
That's
way too weak an idea. That's too soft an idea. Says we have died. That's a strong idea. Maybe he means we're slowly moving away from sin. But then why is the we died in the past tense as an event that's already happened? Maybe he means we renounced sin at some event, like maybe at our baptism. But it's not that. Because in the next few verses he shows you that it has to do with our union with Christ. While some of these ideas are possible explanations with some measure of truth, they don't make much sense in the flow of Paul's reasoning. What Paul's reasoning for is much more. The rest of this chapter will make it clearer. I'll summarize it for you. What Paul is saying is when you become a Christian, the moment you become a Christian, are no longer under the reign or the ruling power of sin. Now, if I was a Malagasy pastor, and I made that statement, the moment you become a Christian, you are no longer under the reign or the ruling power of sin. I would have to say, hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. I am no longer under the reigning power of sin. And that's what the legalists didn't realize about the message of grace.
Exists.
brain. Since it operates not under its control.
Amen.
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 See, you have to be. Yes. The power of sin is broken. It's very important for you as a Christian to know the power of sin is broken. When I'm struggling with sin, and we do still struggle, when I think this is me, I'm just a sinner, I will never be better. It becomes so easy just to give in to temptation. If I think I'm defeated, in a way, I'm going to be defeated. I'm going to fail. But if I think there is power at work in me that has broken the power of sin, then I expect to have victory over sin. And when I struggle, I expect I will win again. I may still be suffering some of the lingering effects of sin.
This isn't about water baptism.
It's about water baptism.
places you in Christ.
Den Abbilder noch in Christi, genau.
And now you are in Christ.
Den Sohn noch auch in Christi.
And you are in Christ in His death.
Den auch in Christi noch am Verfassen.
And you're in Christ in His resurrection.
Den auch in Christi kui noch auf dieser Karte.
We are united with Christ.
Den auch immer kommt auf Christi sich.
It's not water that breaks the power of sin.
Zum Raum kui noch man muss ja nie.
It's our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit places you in Christ, you become a partaker of everything Jesus did. Remember when you were in Adam? What did you get from Adam? God is sin. But now when you're in Christ, you get everything Christ got. Death once and for all to break the power of sin. Resurrection power to show that He has overcome. And you know what? We are united with Christ. And this means the hold of sin over our lives is broken. It's in the past we have died to sin. When did I die to sin? 2,000 years ago. I was there in Jesus. My victory is there in Jesus. When did I become guilty of sin? When Adam, my first head, my first representative, hurt. But by the Holy Spirit's power, I'm no longer in Adam, I'm now in Christ.
Romans 6:5. quien su sin falta.
My sin.
Me duele mucho.
But sin will not keep me.
Fa falta la cosa ciliata, eh?
Look at 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17.
Se ne va nei Corinziani fa rua, la tu fa dina.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come.
Fara misio la Cristo un po' fois e farà senza batata tu il Dio che fa tutto con voi.
Why are you not going to be under the power of sin?
Fa manina le non tu vuoi bani e non fa tutta tu.
The old has gone.
And
the new has come. Because we have died
to
our sins. And we now live in the newness of life. There's a new
you.
The old you. The old you was with Adam. And it is that new person, that new creation, that is going to win in the end. That's who you are. Now for all eternity.
So see how much of them are saying.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father. Thank you that you have placed us in Christ. That we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And in Christ we are not under the power of sin anymore. The power of sin is broken. We don't live under its reign. We live under the reign of your grace and your goodness. And we live in Christ Jesus. Who has the victory. That is now our victory.